Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verses 1 through 9, Genesis chapter 12. And looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All of Psalm 23. Then finally, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 12. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Again, verses 1 to 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege and the blessed opportunity we have of being able to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one every single day. Thank you, Lord, for how that as we take the time in your word each day and spend that time one-on-one with you, that we're a different person on the other side of our time. Thank you for how that you mold us and shape us and empower us. You more and more help us to grow in our faith and help us to learn how to walk out a life of faith and obedience. Help us to know, Lord, that we're here for you. We're here to serve you. We're here to follow you. We're here to carry out your work and your will in this world. Help us to be faithful ambassadors and vessels through which your spirit can work every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, how awesome is it that you brought Abraham through so many things? How awesome is it that Abraham had so much faith that whenever you called him to go to the land, you would show him that he just packed his bags and went? And Heavenly Father, how awesome is it that you've said that you want to tabernacle, you want to dwell with us? Heavenly Father, we just make ourselves available for whatever you have to say. Help us have wisdom. Help us have insight to read your scriptures with understanding. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would reveal yourself to us more and more, that we could get to know you more and more, that we can walk more in your likeness more and more. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, we want to share with you once again a discipleship tool from the AFA Stand, an article we wrote entitled "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." And of course, one of our goals is that this will strengthen and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, that you'll also receive this as a tool for discipling your family, but also a tool to forward and share with fellow church members, fellow family members, friends, saved or unsaved individuals as well, but a seed that you can plant in their lives by way of the internet as well. Again, the title of this article, "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Then Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And then Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Again, Romans 1:17. Is the word of God true? Of course it's true. It's the word of God, and his word is truth. And God always, always, always keeps his word. Well, if God's word is true, and it is, you and I are called to believe that it's true and act like it's true and live a life acting on the truth found in the word of God. Why would this be? Well, this is true because living a life of faith is to hear the word of God so we can believe and live like it's true. Faith follows the word of God because faith trusts and obeys. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important to everything in the Christian life. The Bible tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Again, Hebrews 11, verse 6. So it's impossible to please God without faith. Romans 1:17, as well as other passages, tell us, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Again, Romans 1:17. So we see we're commanded to live by faith. So in view of the truth that without faith we cannot please God, and by his command, the just shall live by faith, we need to clearly understand a very important truth. Faith and living by it are extremely important for all believers everywhere. So every believer would be wise to decide to become a lifelong student in the school of faith. In other words, we'd be wise to continually seek to build our faith and to continually learn more about faith and how to put it to work, how to apply it in our lives and in our world. The Word of God lets us know that every believer has some faith. Romans 12:3 tells us, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every believer has a measure of faith. Yet we're wise to understand that our faith can grow and increase according to the Word of God. And it should continually be a goal for all believers to grow and develop our faith to become stronger and stronger with every passing day. Romans 10:17 lets us know how faith can grow when it says, "So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of God." So then, a believer can grow and increase his or her faith by reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. Faith is trust and belief that the Bible, God's Word, is true. And we live a life of faith as we trust the Word of God and live a lifestyle of acting on the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." Again, Hebrews 4, 2. Keep in mind that living a life of faith is a life in which you need to know how to turn the switch of faith on in your life. In other words, it's important to know how to activate and focus your faith and use it to overcome in any given circumstance. In the challenges we face every day in our lives, whether we win or lose a battle is dependent on putting your faith to work. Knowing how to use and apply your faith makes all the difference in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Again, 1 John 5, 4. If we want to live a victorious Christian life, we need to put our faith to work in our lives every day of our lives. This is how we live a life that pleases God and that builds the kingdom of God. Read and meditate on the Word of God every day of your life. Learn to stand on the promises of God's Word. Grow in your understanding that God and His Word can be trusted. You and I are wise to decide to become students in the school of faith who will never, ever graduate, who are seeking to learn more and more about how to use and apply our faith in every area of life. Why? Because one of our goals is to grow in our knowledge of how to live a life that pleases and honors our Heavenly Father. And this is a life of faith and trust in Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Again, 2 Peter 3:18. Let's be lifelong students who never graduate from the school of faith. Let's keep learning and growing in faith and growing in our knowledge of Him. Again, the title of this article, "A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith." If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. And also keep in mind, if you want any of the other prayer tools or discipleship tools that we share, the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool, which has about 12 Bible-based prayers we encourage you to get, or any of the other prayer tools or discipleship tools, remember that's part of what they're for you to use in your own walk with the Lord, for you to use in discipling your family, and for you to forward and share with other individuals, family members, church members, saved and unsaved persons as well. Lord, thank You for the fact that every day we spend time with You in Your Word, our faith can grow. Thank You for the fact that as we read Your Word and meditate on it, not only can our faith grow, but more and more You're teaching us how to apply our faith. When we face the challenges, the giants in our lives, the storms in our lives, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that You fully intend for us to learn to trust You, to look to You, and to put our faith and confidence in You being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity for us to know You and trust You. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
speak from heaven. We call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven. We call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven. We call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness. Super amazing.
Music of Dunson Oyekan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're very honored to have as our phone guest today Apostle Frederick Pitts. He's the pastor of Anointing Faith Fellowship in Jackson, Mississippi, and we're grateful to have him on with us today. Apostle Pitts, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Hour of Intercession, and it's our first time having you on. But I'm going to ask if you would take a few minutes to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about you and tell them also about the church you serve. And also, if someone listening maybe wants to come visit there, tell them how they can do that. But if you'll further introduce yourself, please go right ahead.
Well, good morning, AFR listeners, Hour of Intercession. We bless you and we thank you. My name is Frederick Pitts. I am the senior apostle at Anointing Faith Fellowship Church, located 111 Red Hill Drive, Jackson, Mississippi, 39212. Amen. We have a contact number at 601-201-4512. Website is under construction at this time, but you can reach us on Facebook under Apostle Frederick L. Pitts, and you can view some messages and some excerpts there. We bless you, and we thank God for the privilege of being on American Family Radio this morning with Pastor Joseph Parker, and we are excited about what God is doing in this hour of intercession. We are praying daily for souls to come into the kingdom and that they would walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless God and we thank Him for the harvest season that we are in at this exact moment. Amen. This is the year in the Hebrew calendar, 57, 85, and we are moving toward the harvest. We bless God, and we thank God for what He's doing in this season. And if I were you, I would pray and intercede that and tell God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Amen. Bless His name.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for being on with us today. And, you know, just so that you know, Apostle Pitts, we do periodically at different times have pastors on. One of the reasons why I think it's so helpful to have pastors who stand on the Word of God on this broadcast is because many times the messages that God will place in the heart of a pastor is a message that may very well be a message far beyond just the flock that they serve, but a message for the nation and sometimes for the world. And so I think it's very good to hear from pastors who stand on the Word of God and believe in the Word of God as well. So as we begin, Apostle Pitts, would you take time to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear any and everything that the Lord wants to say to their hearts today as they listen to the broadcast?
Father, we thank you that you'd open up the eyes of our understanding and peak our ears, Lord. Incline our ear towards your voice, your mouth. We're in the season of pay, the open mouth. Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you that our mouths are open and we are speaking to you. Father, we talk. We speak and talk to the souls that are listening right now. And we admonish them to open their mouths. Stop thinking in your head what you want to say to God and open your mouth and say what it is that you want for God, because this is the season that God is, he's got his heart inclined to your mouth. He's got his ear listening to what the petitions and the intercessory prayers of the saints. So we pray, Father, that the listeners will have a heart that's pliable to the word of God, that their hearts, the fields of their heart are already broken up. The fallow ground is broken up and the ground is ready for the seeding of the word of God. And Father, we speak a word in season. We say that now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Pitts. I wanted to ask you this question. Tell us about the name of the church that you pastor. It's a unique name, Anointing Faith Fellowship. Tell us what's behind the name of your fellowship.
Well, the Lord, when he was, I was in on a missionary journey to New York City, and we were in Harlem doing some evangelistic work. And as I was on my way back, he began to give me the words of the ministry that we would be, that he wanted us to found. And he said it was the, first of all, we had a prophetic word, my wife and I, on our wedding day. And it was a prophet that gave us a word and called us that we were the cup to carry his anointing to the world. And so therefore you have the Cup Ministries Incorporated. Under the auspices of that, we have Anointing Faith Fellowship Church. And the Lord gave me Anointing Faith because he said it's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And the faith part of it is that we have to have faith to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that we have to have the kind of faith to see it before we can see it. In other words, we can see it in the supernatural realm, in the spirit, before we can see it manifest in the natural. We understand that our dad has a storehouse, and it's a spiritual storehouse, and it's in the heavens. And the access to that storehouse is the key of faith. And so that's where we derive anointing faith. And I always tell folk when they come to visit, I said, do not adjust your spiritual receptors. You've just entered the anointing faith zone. For we may not do it like you do it, but we do it to the glory of God. And so while you're on this broadcast, don't adjust your spiritual receptors. You just entered the anointing faith zone where God is doing a new thing. He said, he said for us to remember ye not the former things. In other words, he was saying, I'm doing a new thing. And the new thing is, the old thing was, yeah, you saw me part the Red Sea. And fold up the Jordan. But he said, the new thing is I'm going to bring water into your dry place, in your desert places, and flood your wastelands, your dry places. Mm-hmm. So do not adjust your spiritual receptive. You just enter the anointing faith zone. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. You, Apostle Pitts, you referred to the Hebrew calendar, and you mentioned, of course, that this is the year 5785. Can you tell our listeners what you're referring to there, and that, like, some, many would be familiar with the Hebrew calendar, but there may be some that may not know what that is, may not be familiar with it at all. And also you referred to the term, the word pay as well. Tell our listeners about the specifically what you're referring to there.
Well, I believe, let me see, I said 5785, but I believe we've entered into 5786. And the Lord is that's the Hebrew calendar. Mm-hmm. And that's what we go by the Gregorian calendar, but the Hebrew calendar is very pivotal in the seasons of feast that we partake of. And so that's where we are in the Hebrew calendar as far as monitoring the time and season, and we follow the time and seasons so that we would be wise to the scriptures where God is doing in this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Season of pay it means open mouth. Mm-hmm. And it means that we have to have our mouth open in this season. We can't be silent. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. And we've got to open our mouth, and we've got to stop having the hush mouth, where we're not saying nothing and we're thinking everything. And God is wanting us to move past thinking and to activate our voice to speaking, because when we speak, we speak into the atmosphere, and it becomes legalized. And the end of your speaking could be the beginning, and should be the beginning of the manifestation of what you are saying. So the end of our speaking, God said, let there be light. At the end of his speaking, there was light. At the end of our speaking, we're made in his likeness and in his image, and we ought to be able to speak some things in season. He says, speak those things that be not as though they were. That means that we've got to imagine what we are speaking, what we're looking for, speak it into the atmosphere, and watch it manifest.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, just the whole idea of kind of following the Hebrew calendar is, that's a wonderful and a very powerful topic in and of itself, but I do appreciate you sharing that. You know, one of the another goal insofar as us, as we have the privilege of having different pastors to come on, is, again, speaking to issues that help believers better understand the kingdom of God as a whole, but also the importance of walking with God as an individual believer. You know, us as believers understanding that, yes, we're to believe God for big things, faith projects, along with our church family, but at the same time, we're to put our faith to work in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our homes, in the financial challenges we deal with, in our giving, in our ministering as families. Would you share about why it's important for us to put our faith to work diligently as we simply follow God one believer at a time?
Well, I believe that individually, we must seek God personally. Collectively, one voice becomes many. And as we individually seek the Lord while he can be found, call upon his name while he is near, then we have a personal contact, a personal experience with God. And I always call it experiential faith, that our faith is grown by what we experience in God and watching the manifestation. What I've been teaching here lately is, information without revelation, there will be no manifestation. And so with the information that we're given, which is the Logos, the written word of God, and when it becomes revelation, it becomes rhema. It quickens your body, your spirit, to move into a new walk of life or lifestyle. When we are quickened with a rhema word, it brings to life our spirit man, and we walk into the newness of life. And that is the revelation that we get from the information, which is the Logos, the Word of God. And then once it's once there's a revelation on it, then we can see manifestation. And so that's what I believe as a body collectively and individually, that is, we study the Word of God, the Logos, we become learned, but then knowing and experiencing it and having it become revelation, that's when it becomes manifestation, and then we receive the impartation.
Again, appreciate you sharing insights along that line. And, you know, I think it's very powerful to think about this, Apostle Pitts, that, you know, one could say that every issue, every matter, every concern in life is a discipleship issue. And from this perspective, that's true. Our goal is to honor God in everything we do, the matters we get involved with, the things we do. And so for us as believers, growing an understanding of how to live out our faith practically is so, so important to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you again for the work and the ministry of Apostle Pitts and the Anointing Faith Fellowship. Thank you for every believer listening. Help us to grow an understanding of how to put our faith to work practically in helping us to walk with you one moment at a time in our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest today is Apostle Frederick Pitts, the pastor of Anointing Faith Fellowship in Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Of Brian and Katie Torwald with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Apostle Frederick Pitts. He's the pastor of Anointing Faith Fellowship in Jackson, Mississippi. Apostle Pitts, you alluded to, you mentioned like near the beginning of your introducing yourself and your testimony as well about being on mission in Harlem, New York, and you know, one of the truths that is so, it's so basic, yet it's so important is that every believer is to have a heart for evangelism and discipleship. The reality is we're all to be involved in the wonderful work of helping people to be drawn off the road to hell on the road to heaven. And so would you pray for the church to grow in its understanding of the need to have a heart for evangelism and discipleship as we carry out the Great Commission?
Yes, Father, we bless you. We thank you for touching the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls with the spirit of evangelism, the spirit of telling somebody your experience in Christ, and that they would go on to yearn for that experience for themselves. We thank you, Father, and we bless you that as we share our faith, and we walk the roads of evangelism, and we go to different places and different people. It doesn't have to be a place. It could be a person. And we share, open our mouth in this season of pay and speak of the goodness of God and how he's been so wonderful in your life and how he's changed every aspect of our lives by just the love that he shed abroad in our heart. We thank you, Father. And we thank you that the Word of God says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one toward another. We pray, Father, that the spirit of evangelism would kick up a notch higher, and that it would be the main thrust of the Christian heart to reach out and tell somebody about the good gospel of the good news that they found, and they want to share it one with another. We bless you for that. And we thank you that it will burn in our hearts like a fire, and that it will never go out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And also, Apostle Pitts, wanted to ask you about this too. You know, I've had the privilege of being a pastor for just a few months shy of about 50 years, and it's been an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord in that capacity. But, you know, one of the biggest issues that we face in our culture, yet sadly seems to be one of those issues that's so pervasive in the way we deal with it as the church, is the life issue. I think of this, that, you know, the Bible, one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. That's very straight and forthright. Yet, sadly, we live in a culture that says it's okay to, if it's not convenient to keep your baby, that it's okay to murder that child. And sadly, now, obviously, we understand the world is not going to agree with God. But sadly, when you have people that say they love the Lord, yet they don't agree with God's word either, that's a major, major problem. Would you share your thoughts and your heart about why it's important for the church to, number one, be on the same side as the word of God, stand for life, stand against abortion as well, and why it's important for us to preach and teach in love the truth about standing for life?
Yes, I believe that life is given by God, and no man has the authority, the God-given right, to take a life. And that even though in difficult circumstances, life that God has allowed to live is life that should be lived. And I pray and I beseech the world, I want to say the body of Christ, but it's not always the body of Christ that's going to the abortion clinics. It's the world. And we pray, Father, that the world will be convicted. Yes. That life is life, and that life should be lived no matter what the circumstances are. We bless you, God. We stand with the word of God. We stand with the book. Jesus. The book said that God is the giver, the maker and giver of life, and we stand with God on that, and that abortion is not of God, and therefore it's not of the mindset of myself or any believer, and that we pray that the world will be convicted, that in their hearts and pricked in their hearts that if life is life, then let life live. And we bless God for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Apostle Pitts. You know, I think of this, that I don't know that I would really even begin to know how many times I've run into this conversation with a fellow pastor where a pastor would make this statement. He may say, well, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. And to be very honest, that is so tragic to me. Anytime a servant of the Lord says that, because it's so misleading, it's almost as if they're saying, well, I'm against murdering babies, but if she really, really wants to murder her baby, almost as if he's saying it's okay. And the fact is, God's word doesn't change. So say if a pastor was to confront you, Apostle Pitts, with that statement, how would you respond to him when he says, I'm against abortion, but I believe in a woman's right to choose? What would be your thoughts towards him?
Well, that's a very poignant and you just really have to know where you stand.
That's right.
When it comes to life, if life is God-given, then man can't take it. And so I believe that if someone approached me with that and say, well, I believe that the woman should be able to choose when it comes, I believe in God giving us a choice, because he said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. And but when it comes to life or abortion, then I believe that the right choice is that the woman should make, that the child should live and not die. And I believe that God is speaking specifically in this time and age about choosing, making the right choice. And the right choice is life, and that God has instituted life, and man should not try to take life, regardless of the situation, and regardless of the sensitivity of a person's choice.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Pastor Pitts, I want to ask if we have just a few minutes left. Is there anything else that's on your heart that you want to share with the believers that are listening to the body of Christ that you feel like are critical issues for the church to really be addressing and looking at in our culture today?
Well, yes. You know, seeing that we're talking about life, you know, the Lord has been talking to me about the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I will show you the path of life. And I kept waiting. I'm saying, God, show me. You said you're going to show me. Show me. I really want to know this path of life that you're talking about. And I know the scripture comes from Psalm 16 and verse 11 in the King James Version. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so I would be like, okay, God, I'm ready for this path. And I was seeking the Lord this past weekend, and he began to reveal the path. And he told me, he said, son, there are many paths that we choose, but there's only one path of life. And he said, it's just like in Matthew 7 and 13 and 14, he said, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so I listened to that, and I saw, and then God says, there are paths that I have before you. There are many paths. They're all vying for your attention, but it's only one path of life. And he says, you've got to weave through the paths that are set before you and choose the path of life, as we're talking about when it comes to abortion. Same thing. And then in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And I love that when it says, where is the good way? Because there's only one good way. And as you remember, the young fellow that was asking, what must he do? And he called Jesus good. And he said, there's only one good one. That's the Father. And there's only one good way. And he says, walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And so, this is the path that he began to show me, that there are other paths, that are some that are selfish paths, there are some that are self-indulgent paths, some worldly, successful paths, paths of popularity, paths of political power, paths of self-righteousness. But he says, now out of all these paths, choose the path. And he says, find that good way. And that's where he showed me. And he said, "Now you've been choosing some paths that were more comfortable for you, and some paths that were more appealing." But he says, "This path that I have set before you, it's narrow. You can't take any of those other things with you. They don't fit in this path with you. Selfishness and the indulgence of the flesh and the worldly success and the popularity and political power and yourself, right? They can't make it through this narrow path." Mm-hmm. And so he said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. And he showed me the path of life. And that path of life is narrow. And few you find on that path.
All right. Well, Apostle Pitts, our time is just about completely gone, but I appreciate you sharing that, in that as we look to the Word of God, Word of God lays out that path beautifully. So thank you again just for sharing that. And thank you for being with us today. We really do appreciate you sharing your heart and your time today. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Apostle Pitts was just sharing about the path of life. Jesus Christ himself, he is that path. He's the way, he's the truth and the life. If you'd like to be saved, give your life to the Lord today, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer and commit your heart and your life to the Lord today? If you would you simply pray this prayer with us? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ just then, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. My email, once again, is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier entitled A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Please pray much for Apostle Frederick Pitts and the Anointing Faith Fellowship Church as they continue serving the Lord. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.